The old man pointed to the mantle which son-in-law Mibsam had thrown down. Its owner grumbled against handing it over to the boy from the well, that he might pollute it, but grumbling was of no avail. He yielded to the old man's will, and two slaves bore the child in the mantle to the camels, for he was mounted with Kedma, one of the sons, a youth with severe and regular features, and a lofty carriage of the head, so that he looked down upon all things underneath drooping lids. Round his head, atop the white headcloth, he wore a black felt ring. At the old man's bidding, Kedma took Joseph before him on the saddle, and the train got under way, taking the road to Dothan, for it might be market day there. Of Reuben's Plan. All this time the sons of Jacob were very ill at ease. They were in no wise happier than when the thorn had sat in their flesh, and they had stumbled about in the broom, hot with their shame. Now the thorn had been pulled out, but the wound was unhealed. It kept on rankling, as though the thorn had been a poisoned one. They had washed out their shame, but it would be too much to say that their sleep tasted better than before. They did not say so. They kept quiet about it. In fact, in these days they were silent altogether, spoke only when necessary, and then grudgingly and between their teeth. They did not meet each other's eyes, but looked anywhere and everywhere, only not in one another's faces when they had to speak. The result was that nobody felt settled about any arrangement, since bargains struck only by word of mouth, and not also with the eyes, always seemed to lack validity. But they did not even care, apparently, whether they were valid or not. Sometimes one or other let fall comments like, "All very well," or, "So far so good," or even, "If that were all," which were but gloomy allusions to the thing which stood in the background of all their thoughts, and which, not being settled, but very far from it, made worthless every word they uttered. However, this would have to come to an end sometime and somehow, however long, lingering, and disgusting the process, that slow perishing and dying down in the depths, though nobody could prophesy how long it would take. On the one hand, they would have liked to hasten the process. On the other, they would gladly have slowed it down, on the chance of some less ugly termination, though they could not imagine what that should be. I have repeatedly warned my readers against taking these sons of Jacob for particularly hardened ruffians, and withdrawing all sympathy from them. Even the most partisan weakness for Joseph, a centuries-old weakness from which I strive to be free, should remember that such a judgment would be very one-sided, and that Joseph himself would not concur in it. For the truth is that they had all of them stumbled unawares into the mess they were in, and would much rather be quit of it. More than once in these dreadful days they wished that they had finished with the business at once, and grumbled at Reuben, who had prevented them. But these dismal regrets were only a consequence of the tight place they were in. They felt put in a corner and checkmated. In a situation such as life will often confront us with, and for which a game of chess furnishes a good analogy. Big Reuben was by no means alone in the wish to save Rachel's child alive out of the grave. Indeed, hardly one among the brethren but would start up every few hours under the spur of such a wish. But then would come the question, was it possible? Alas, no, it was not. The hasty resolve died down, being defeated by the relentless claims of reason. Suppose they were to rescue the dreamer just in time to save him. What could they do with him? It was a blank wall. There was no way out. He must stop where he was. They had not only thrown him in every other way as well they had consigned him to the tomb, and taken every precaution against his rising from it. He was logically dead. Their part was to do nothing but wait until he was actually so. An unnerving program, and without a time limit. For these poor souls knew nothing of 3 days. On the contrary, they knew of people who got lost in the desert and spent twice seven days without food or drink before they were found. It was good to know this, for it gave some room for hope. And it was dreadful to know it, since the hope was a mad and impossible one. Not often have men been in such a tight place. To think only of Joseph's sufferings in these 3 days would be to give way to prejudice in his favor. These tormented souls were sitting one afternoon beneath the red-trunked trees, on the spot where they had beaten Joseph, and where a little earlier they had talked of Lamech, that primitive hero, and blushed in their shame that they were not as he. Only 8 of them were there. Naphtali, the runner, was about somewhere in the neighborhood, seeking to hear new things and report them from place to place. And Reuben had been missing since early morning. He had mumbled something about going up to Dothan to buy spiced wine and breadfruit in exchange for some of their own wares. The others had approved of Reuben's going, on account of what he would bring back. They were unwontedly eager to comfort themselves and blur their understandings with some of the myrrh wine which was made at Dothan. But the real truth was that Reuben had left them being bent on quite another activity, and had only told them about the wine to make them approve his going. Tossing sleepless the night before, Big Reuben's resolve had come to maturity. He would deceive the brethren and save the boy. 3 days he had held out and left Jacob's lamb to perish in the well. He could endure no more. God grant it was not too late. He would steal away and with his own hand free him whom they had consigned to the grave. He would take him by the hand and lead him back to their father and speak to him, "I am unstable as water, and sin is not far from me. But lo, here I have flowed to good purpose, for I bring thee thy lamb, which they would have rent. Is my sin thereby blotted out, and am I again the firstborn?" Reuben tossed no longer, but lay open-eyed and motionless the rest of the night, and made detailed plans for the rescue and the flight. It would not be too easy. The boy was bound hand and foot and would be very weak. He would not be able to grasp the rope which Reuben would throw to him. A cord would not do. There must be a strong hook on it to catch the knotted rope in order to haul up the prize. Perhaps a web of cords would be better, a net to take his fish in, or even a board among the cords on which the boy, clumsy in his bonds as he was, could sit and be drawn up over the edge. Reuben went over all the necessary preparations and equipment, including his own clothes, which he would have ready for the naked lad. He chose in his mind the stout ass which he would drive to Dothan with wool and cheeses, and then ride with the boy before him, and in the shelter of darkness, the 5 days' journey to Hebron, to the father. Big Reuben's heart was full of eager joy, only dampened somewhat by the fear lest Joseph might not survive until dark of the 3rd day. When he took leave of his brethren that morning, he had ado to speak and act with the dour ill temper which had become their settled mood. The sail. 8 of them, then, sat beneath the spreading branches of the pines and gazed gloomily into space in the direction whence the shining had come and that wandering will-o'-the-wisp that had so dazed their senses and lured them to their present pass. As they looked, they saw their brother Naphtali, Bilhah's son, come running among the shrubbery on their right. He came on with great leaps of his long, sinewy legs, and they could tell, even at this distance, that he was bringing them news. They cared but little for it, however. "Brothers, children, friends," he unfolded, "I bring you news. A train of Ishmaelites is riding from Gilead, their noses directed hitherwards, and must soon be here, and pass by 3 stones cast from where you sit. They seem friendly heathen, with bales of goods, and trade with them would be possible if we were to call to them." They hearkened, then turned their heads listlessly away. "It is so far good," said one. "Good, Naphtali, we thank thee for thy news." "If that were all," another added, sighing. Then they were quiet, tortured with irritation and feeling no desire for trade. Yet after a while they became restless, fidgeted to and fro, and stared about them. And when Jehuda, for it was he, lifted up his voice and addressed them, they all started and turned toward him. "Speak, Judah, for we hearken." And Judah spoke, "Sons of Jacob, I have somewhat to ask you, and it is this. Of what profit is it to us that we slay our brother and hide his blood? I answer for you all, no profit whatever. It was utterly weak and contemptible that we threw him in the pit, and persuaded ourselves that his blood was spared thereby, that we might eat by the well, for to shed it we were all afraid. But do I blame our fear? Nay, yet I blame that we lied to ourselves over it, and made distinctions like doing and happening, hiding ourselves behind them, yet standing naked and bare, for that they are but wind. We lusted to be like Lamech in the song, and slay the young man for our hurt. But our customs are not those of the ancient time and of heroic mold. Somewhat we must yield to the present. And lo, instead of killing the youth, we could only let him die. Fie upon us! For it was but a bastard thought, begot of the ancient saga and the modern customs. Therefore I say to you, since we did not know how to do like unto Lamech, and had to yield somewhat to the conditions as they exist, let us then be honest to conform to them altogether, and let us sell our brother to these Ishmaelites. A stone fell from all their hearts, for Judah had spoken after their thoughts. Now were their eyes entirely open, which indeed had already begun to blink at the light as they considered the news brought by Naphtali. Here was the way, simple and clear, out of their impasse. It was the way of Naphtali's Ishmaelites, coming God knew whence, and passing into the immensity, the misty distance whence there was as little return as from the grave. They could not have lifted up the boy, however much they had wished. And suddenly, now they could, for he should be delivered to these oncoming ones of the desert, and with them should depart out of sight and knowledge, as the falling star and its trail quench in nothingness together. Even Simeon and Levi, seeing that heroic methods were out of fashion, found nothing to object to in the plan. They all broke out together in eager, low-toned haste, saying, "Yea, yea, 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 thou sayest it, Judah, thou hast spoken most excellently. To the Ishmaelites, sell him, for that is the way out. Thus are we freed, and our troubles at an end. Bring Joseph here, up, and raise him out of the well, for they are coming, and it is still conceivable that he liveth. A man may live 12 or 14 days, so experience teacheth. Some to the well straightway, while the others..." But lo, even as they spoke, here came the Ishmaelites. The foremost appeared 3 stones throw away, an old man with his hands wrapped in his mantle, and his camel led by a boy. Behind him in single file came the others, riders, pack camels, and drovers, no very stately train. These traders seemed not to be very rich. 2 even sat on 1 camel. They moved like shadows tranquilly across the scene, their eye directed upon Dothan's hill. It was too late to fetch Joseph, too late for the moment. But Jehuda was firmly resolved, and the others as well, not to lose the opportunity, but to clutch it by the forelock and attach the boy to these Ishmaelites, that they should take him out of sight and sound, and so set the brethren free, for the situation was no longer endurable. The ancestors of these travelers, had he not been sent by Abraham with Hagar into the desert, because he had sported in an underworldly manner with Isaac, the son of the true wife? With Ishmael's sons, should Joseph be put off into the desert? The situation had roots. It had been once, and it recurred.